Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what was discovered in Lucena, Spain in 2006, and how has it affected the town's relationship to its Jewish history? Daniela Flessler is Associate Professor in the Department of Hispanic Languages and Literature at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. She was born in Argentina in a family of Eastern European Jewish immigrants and received her PhD in Spanish from Tulane University in 2001. Her research and teaching interests include the global phenomena of immigration and tourism, with a focus on Spain's relations with North Africa and Latin America. Her writing has focused on cultural identity in the lives of Jewish and Muslim minority populations in Spain today. Flessler's first book, The Return of the Moor, Spanish Responses to Contemporary Moroccan Immigration, examined the anxiety over symbolic and literal boundaries permeating Spain's reception of Moroccan immigrants. In 2013, she co-edited a volume of essays, Revisiting Jewish Spain in the Modern Era, which explores the different and contradictory ways in which Spain as a nation has tried to come to terms with its Jewish memory and with the absence and presence of Sephardic Jews from the 19th century to the present. She was awarded fellowships from the American Council of Learned Societies and National Endowment for the Humanities for her latest project, The Memory Work of Sefarad, New Inheritances for 21st Century Spain. Co-authored with Adrián Pérez Melgosa, it explores the phenomenon of the rediscovery of Spain's Jewish heritage. We spoke with Dr. Flessler about her research and this new project. Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Daniela. Could you first tell us a little about yourself, where you're from, your educational background, and how you became interested in the subject of Jews and Jewish history in Spain?
Yes, absolutely. I'm so glad to be talking to you, with you. So, yes, my name is Daniela Flessler. I'm from Buenos Aires, from Argentina. I grew up there in an Ashkenazi family, a very secular family, just like many Jewish families in Buenos Aires. My great grandparents came from Eastern Europe to Buenos Aires at the end of the 19th century. And I studied literature in the University of Buenos Aires, and it's hard to know when it was exactly that I became fascinated with Spain. I grew up hearing stories about the Spanish Civil War from my grandparents, who were, you know, very politically involved. They actually met, my grandparents met in Buenos Aires in the 1930s in a meeting to collect money for the Republic, right? So I heard a lot about sort of those stories. I think that's kind of the first reference that I had in my childhood to Spain. And then I studied literature, as I said, and I have always kind of been fascinated by sort of the parts of the story that I wasn't being told. So there was something about the Jews in Spain and about also the Muslims in Spain that I always really cut my attention, and I mean, it's not like I wasn't told anything about them, but, you know, I knew about expulsion in 1492, but I guess I always had a lot more questions about it, about both. So I really, when I began the university, I really got very interested into wanting to think more about the Muslims and Jews in Spain, and, you know, some point I thought that maybe I wanted to study medieval Spain, you know, when they were actually living together in Spain. And then I realized when I did my PhD, which I came here, I came to the US to do my PhD in Hispanic literature. And I ended up writing my dissertation about the incidence of that past, of the medieval past of you know, Muslims, Jews, and Christians in the Iberian Peninsula, the incidence of that past in the present, in contemporary Spain. So that has been kind of my focus for my research.
Yeah, 5 years ago, you were one of the editors of the book Revisiting Jewish Spain in the Modern Era, which includes a series of essays which show the importance of so-called Jewishness in Spanish political, social, and cultural developments in what they call the modern era, which is from the end of the 18th century, which for a lot of Americans, that doesn't sound very modern, but
yeah.
But in Spain, that's considered modern. And since the expulsion of in 1492, there have been practically no Jews in Spain, and those who have lived there have kept a very low profile until really recently. And most Gentiles even now have never knowingly met a Jew. You know, if you ask them, they've never met a Jew. So could you speak a little bit about the importance of the Jewishness that you're talking about at a time when Jews really didn't have much of a presence?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, in that book, we have some wonderful essays, you know, by several authors and academics on this topic, on historians and literary critics and sociologists. So part of the story that those essays tell is that story, that even though there was this absence of Jews in Spain, the Jews have always played a central role in arguments and discussions about Spanish history, about issues that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily think that the Jews should be central to that story, right? So, for example, about discussions of the role of religion and the role of the church and the relationship between church and state, right? In the discussions about those issues, you know, so Jews and the history of Jews in Spain has always played a role. So that's sort of really interesting, right? How an absence can still be a presence in a way.
A few of the essays in that book, the titles of them, I haven't read the whole book, but the titles of them really caught my attention. For example, the narrative work of the Jewish conspirator in mid-19th century European literature. What is the Jewish conspirator? And when you talk about European literature, how is this related to Spain also?
Yeah. The author of that essay is Lou Chamondoich, who was a colleague of mine here at Stony Brook. She's a specialist on the 19th century novel. So, yeah, she writes about novels from France, from Italy, and from Spain that show Jews as is sort of these conspiratorial, you know, conspiracy theories about Jews being behind revolutions in Europe. You know, sort of is part of the sort of modern anti-Semitic stereotypes, right? About Jews. So she talks about those very conspiratorial novels that kind of blame the Jews for all the bad things that were all the turmoil that was happening in Europe in the 19th century in different nations, you know.
Another one that I guess is sort of related to your interest in the Muslims is Spaniards of the Jewish Type. I'm not exactly sure what that means. Mm-hmm. Philo-Sephardism in the Service of Imperialism in Early 20th Century Spanish Morocco.
Yeah, those essays, there are two essays that are kind of related to this issue and to Morocco. I mean, one is by Michal Friedman and another by Isabel Rohr, both also very dear colleagues. They are both historians. And yeah, so they both show sort of the relationship between Spanish colonialism in Morocco and the colonial efforts related to this issue of Philo-Sephardism, right? So Philosephardism, which, you know, the best known figure of that movement is probably Ángel Pulido, but there were other thinkers as well, and many of the Africanists, you know, the people involved in the colonial efforts in Morocco, had these philosophardic ideas. Basically, you know, they saw this is sort of this a myth and a stereotype about the Sephardim, right? That says, well, the Sephardim, they kept their language, they kept speaking Spanish because they loved Spain. They have these close ties to the motherland that is Spain. They have never forgotten it. They love Spain. They love their language. And they are Spaniards at heart, right? So that's why Spaniards of the Jewish type, right? So in a way, you know, that double identity, so the Spanish philo-Sephardites, right? What they do was sort of they privilege what they saw as the Spanishness of the Sephardim and sort of downplaying their Jewishness. So they had an economic interest. They thought that, you know, these close ties with the Sephardim all over the Mediterranean could really help Spain in its economic expansion. It could also help Spain politically, sort of diplomatically. So they wanted to, in a way, emphasizing, you know, the Spanishness of the Sephardim was a desire to make those ties work for Spain's self-interest.
Speak to us a little bit about the Jews in the Second Republic, because that leads up to the Spanish Civil War, where we know that Jews have played a very important role in the international brigades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that essay about the Jews during the Second Republic was written by another dear colleague of mine. Her name is Tabea Linhart, and she works here in the U.S. And yeah, she talks about some of the efforts, sort of also some that can be considered sort of philo-Sephardic efforts at the time of the Second Republic. And an interesting fact, you know, and she talks about this too, is that the very ambivalent relationship to Jews and Jewishness in Spain, you know, has happened kind of across political persuasions, okay? So in terms of philo-Sephardism, for example, you know, you can find from fascist thinkers or proto-fascist thinkers like Jiménez Caballero, for example. I mean, people who are going to be really important players in what's going to be the fascist movement in Spain. So you have philo-Sephardists among them, and also all the way to thinkers that we, you know, we would think as quite liberal, right? And also, for example, you know, political players in the Republic. So this is a topic, the ambivalence towards Jews that kind of crisscrosses all political persuasions, and in a way, you know, Jews can be useful politically for many different groups and from different political perspectives. So that kind of adds to the complexity and the richness of that relationship.
This leads a little bit to the last essay, which is The Voids of Sephard, the Memory of the Holocaust in Spain, which was written by Alejandro Bayer, who is one of the founders of Radio Sephard.
Right.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Right, yes. Yeah, so Alex Bayer, wrote the last essay for the book, and of course he has written a lot about this topic, and so he basically explains about the Holocaust in Spain, the reception of the Holocaust in Spain, right, and how, even though many people might think that, you know, the Holocaust didn't happen in Spain, there was nothing, Spain had nothing to do with that, or it has no bearing for Spain, you know, sort of, so he explains that that it actually does and what those what that relationship is like. And he's basically saying that in order for Spain to fully grasp kind of the implications of what the Holocaust means, Spaniards kind of have to look at the history through the prism of Sephardad, right? Through the prism of Spain's own history in relationship to Jews and in relationship to Spain's own Jewish past.
I'd like to speak a little bit about the new book, which is called The Memory Work of Sephardad, New Inheritances for 21st Century Spain. And it was written originally in English, which is a very nice thing for our listeners, because very often we speak about books that were written in Spanish and haven't been translated, and, you know, right. It makes it more difficult.
Right.
And it's about the recovery of the legacy of Sephardad. Why do you think Spain has tried to reconnect with its Jewish past in recent years?
Okay, so yes, this is a book that I just finished co-writing. I co-wrote it with my colleague Adrián Pérez Melgosa, who's also a professor here at Stony Brook. So yeah, we just finished writing it in English. It has not been translated into Spanish yet. We hope to do that in the future. So yeah, in the book we look at the present, really. We look at what has been happening in Spain since the celebrations or commemoration of the anniversary of 1492 in 1992, right? So as you know, and your listeners probably know, many initiatives kind of have their origins in the late 1980s when Spain begins preparing for 1992. And, you know, beginning from the Red de Juderías, right, in terms of tourism, but also Jewish festivals, film festivals, books, archaeological excavations, the opening of new museums, publications. You know, this is a really rich phenomenon in contemporary Spain. And so, yeah, the book kind of analyzes that phenomenon, yeah.
Where do you think it comes from? I mean, what do you think the origins are? Do you think that they're mainly economic? Because the Red de Juderías,
right,
the network of Jewish quarters, is an economic venture. Mm-hmm. And you can see that in some of the requirements that they have for, you know, for towns or for organizations to become a part of them. I mean, it seems to me to be very economically oriented. And I'm wondering if you think a lot of the research, a lot of the archaeological research, a lot of this promotion of the towns and everything really has that behind it, or if it's really a true interest in the Jewish history and legacy of Spain.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's of course the main question. And in a way, it is the main question of the book. And in a way, our answer would be yes. There is no doubt that there is a very clear economic rationale for many of these initiatives, if not for most of them. But our answer would be, but there is a but there. And basically, that is that even if that is the origin, right? If that's the reason why, you know, towns begin doing these things and people become involved in these issues because of economic reasons, in a way we say, well, but there are unexpected consequences that can come from that. So, for example, one of the things that is related to the Red de Juderías, right? They have this program, for example, that is called Benjamín de Sefarad, right? I think Lucena is the city that initiated it. And so what they do is that, you know, high school students visit each other's cities and they kind of learn about the Jewish heritage of their own cities and kind of introduce the Jewish heritage of the city that is hosting, right, they introduce it to the high school kids that come to visit. So they are exchanges between cities. And again, this seems like very touristy and, you know, with an economic rationale behind it. But I think it is really interesting, and something good can come out of the fact that these students are learning the Jewish history and the Jewish heritage of their own city. They are discovering it, in many cases, for the first time, right? A story that perhaps they knew nothing about. And in a way, this invites them to see their own city with different eyes. And so that's one of the things that, I mean, we are still wondering about this, but we kind of try to talk about it in the book, showing, you know, what happens in these cities when suddenly, for example, going Lucena again, you know, this cemetery that was discovered there in 2006, you know, a city, Lucena, that had been such an important center of Jewish life in medieval times, where apparently there was nothing left. There were no traces at all to be seen there, all the way to until this cemetery is discovered, and now is marked so clearly in the city, you know, the people who live there. Now, this is part of their city now. So I think that can bring sort of a new understanding for Spaniards in general, that, you know, that this is part of their own heritage too. So this doesn't just belong to the Jews, you know, to the Sephardic Jews that live outside of Spain, or the small Jewish communities in Spain. This also belongs to every Spaniard. So I think there is something interesting about that. And of course, we know, right, that together with this kind of visibility of things Jewish in the public sphere in Spain, you have the whole phenomenon of people beginning, you know, thinking that they might be Anusim, that they might be descendants of conversos, people who have become really interested in Jewish history, who have studied, people who have gone all the way to converting to Judaism, right? I mean, it is a small amount, it's a minority of Spaniards, of course, we're not talking about huge numbers, but it is a really interesting phenomenon, right? And I think it is related to this whole process of sort of reevaluating and looking with new eyes at this, at the Jewish past.
When this whole thing started in the small towns looking for Jewish heritage, how was it received by the people, a lot of whom were educated under Franco and by the Catholic Church, really to be anti-Semitic?
Right. Yeah. That's why I think is, in a way, this the phenomenon of kind of rethinking history and realizing the true historical fact, that is, that many Jews actually didn't leave Spain but stay in Spain and converted to Christianity and just assimilated into Christian society. You know, I think that knowledge kind of provides a really interesting twist, you know, to the whole phenomenon of Jewish heritage for tourism purposes, etc. I mean, so the knowledge that can happen, you know, in every small town and everywhere in Spain of, well, you know, the Jews, many of them did not leave, you know, perhaps we are the Jews. So I think that changes the kind of this the point of view of, oh, Jews are those, you know, imaginary, horrible people that live outside of Spain, right? That you always think of as foreign and outside of Spain. So kind of, I think, the possibility for Spaniards to learn more about this history and to realize, again, that it's part of their own history and not something that is foreign and on the outside, and all those, you know, anti-Semitic stereotypes that come with it. Again, you know, it is a potentiality. I'm not saying, you know, it has already happened, but the potential for, you know, further education and further learning about that history and kind of dispelling those stereotypes and myths and lies about Jews. You know, it's happening.
Are you planning to continue working on Jewish Spain now that you finished this book, or do you have other plans for the future?
Right now, I plan to continue working on this for a while. Yeah. It is such a rich topic, and I feel like I have only begun to scratch the surface of it. We are now, both Adrián and I, for example, part of what we did in the book, we began a collaboration with Daniel Quintero, you know, the painter, about his Sephardic portraits. And so we are planning to write a book with him about his work, among his work related to Jewish topics. And so I'm also writing a little more, for example, this morning I was working on an article about the novels of Esther Bendahan that I know you, of course, you know. So yes, I there is still so much to do, and so yeah, I'll continue writing about this. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSephirah.com. See you next week.